Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. This episode of the She Said Project Podcast is unplanned and unwritten in honor of today's guest. So thank you for joining us. I am your host, Jeanette Jerzyk, National Director of the She Said Project. Carrie Rosso, my co-host, how are you?
I am fantastic. I'm super excited for our guest today, one of my favorite humans on the planet.
Pretty great human. Funny, delightful, a true giver. She really shared her soul with us on the She Said stage. She shared something. We are talking, of course, of the one and only Angie Franklin, who appeared on stage in That's What She Said live in February of 2020, where we all got to enjoy this incredible night of women sharing stories just weeks before this crazy pandemic world hit. And now here in our Zoom studio, we're taking a moment to connect with Angie and see how she is doing after that experience. Hello, dear friend Angie. How are you?
Good. Hi, friends. How's it going? I've missed you. It seems like 10 years ago since we were together having a good time.
It was 10 months that feels like 10 years, right?
It really does. It really, really does.
Let's rewind back to before, you know, we were living in a pandemic world when we were still having fun and getting ready to do a live show at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. You, of course, joined this cast. We knew the moment we met with you what story you were going to share and what you were going to talk about. And we could not wait. It's one of the best stories I think we've ever shared because it's something that's so unexpected.
Yeah, we basically put you in quarantine before quarantine was a thing. Like, you can't tell anybody this story. You had to put it in the vault until the night of the show.
I know. You wanted to pimp me out, like pimp my story out.
Well,
we hope we did you a service.
It's all for a good cause. Like, I know. It's all right. I took one for the team.
It's about sharing those moments in life that are awkward and uncomfortable and unexpected. And by being brave and sharing what you went through, you give other women permission to go, oh my God, it's okay. It's okay that life doesn't go exactly as planned. And before we give too much away, I feel like we really just need to share your story with our audience. Otherwise, we're going to slip up and give away some of the juicy details. Pun intended. So let's just go right to the performance, shall we? For our listeners, this story, get a glass of wine, pull up a chair, just enjoy yourself because I know I'm going to. We're listening to the live performance from That's What She Said, February 2020. This is Angie Franklin with her story, Unplanned and Unwritten.
So I was like 5 years old when I realized that I really like to eat and swear, so you've been warned. Am I the only one here that really likes pizza and pasta and bread and fried chicken and mashed potatoes and bougie wine and cheesecake and chocolate and margaritas and Taco Tuesday? Where are my ladies who like to eat? Can I get an amen? And has anybody ever lost weight and then just like gained it back? Can I get a hell yeah? So I don't really know exactly why I eat when I eat, and I've been on a diet like 100 times. I mean, food is just good. When I lose weight, I'm good at it. I mean, I can lose the equivalent of an entire person off my body. But when I gain weight, I'm a total champ. I can also gain an entire person on my body too, like right now. But tonight I'm up here to have fun talking about it and make women feel okay about it, because we can waste time being sad, feeling guilty, and having regrets in life, or we can live today like there's no tomorrow. Am I right? Who's with me? All right. So a couple of years ago, I was on my diet A game. I was doing great. Protein, water, veggies, really low carbs, no sugar, no alcohol. Yep, it sucked. But I dropped the weight and it felt great. But since the weight was gone, I decided that it was finally time that the grandma bras had to go. Ever since high school, I had always wanted the girls to be just smaller. They just got in the way of stuff. Sure enough, I'd eat something and it would totally land on my chest for the world to see. Like, nice ketchup. Or, anyone want some chocolate ice cream for dessert? I'd wanted it done since I was 17 years old, but the doctors always said, you need to lose some serious weight first. Well, duh, you asshole. Give me the magic pill to lose some weight permanently and I'll take it every day, but can you do something about my boobs? Well, January 2018 was the magic month where they told me that I didn't have to wait any longer. I'd finally lost enough weight to qualify for a breast reduction. Yes. So, I went in for outpatient surgery bright and early at 5:30 in the morning on a Thursday. I was so pumped. I went in the room, and my surgeon had to use this special purple pen to draw all over my naked body, which looked pretty smoking hot at the time, because I had been on my diet A-game. So my husband is watching as I'm getting prepped by the female surgeon, whom we both adored, and as the doctor was drawing sections all over my business, she said, okay, I'm warning you, I'm getting ready to go down under. And my husband, without missing a beat, said, isn't that my job? Oh my God. So, it literally happened. And so my husband and the doctor both start laughing hysterically. And at this moment, while they're both laughing and making sexual jokes at my expense, I know that this adventure was not going to go as planned. So they gave me some sort of like happy sleeping cocktail shot. And then I don't really remember the next 6 hours of the outpatient surgery. This is probably a good time to tell you that at about a month before the procedure, I had a little conversation with my surgeon that I wanted to try out Botox for the first time during the breast reduction. But I totally couldn't tell my husband about it because he's super cheap. And he's totally in the audience. So this is how this went down. So I talked to the surgeon and said, you know, we can't tell him, can we just roll it into the surgery bill? Because my husband is cheap and he drinks PBR and he will not think that Botox and fillers are fiscally responsible. So I wake up from the surgery to find my surgeon in my face giving me these prickly little shots. And I feel like I'm super high, even though I've never actually been high before. I mean, I am not waiting in those lines around town. So anyway, my husband is walking into the room during the Botox, and at that point, I know that I am mucking busted. I say mucking because Carrie Russo said that I couldn't say the big one, and I found a way to trick her, get it? Gotcha. All right, because they totally know what I mean. All right, well, the doctor said that the surgery went well, and I was excited and hungry, because guess what? I'm always mucking hungry. So at this point, I find out that I'm being transferred via ambulance to the hospital for post-surgical therapy. My husband made arrangements for the kids to be picked up from school, and as my high is starting to wear off, I quickly find out that my outpatient surgery is no longer outpatient. After 5 minutes in the hospital bed, a nurse comes into the room and asks me if I'm ready to start leech therapy. I said I was ready whenever he was ready. She looked at me funny and left the room. About 15 minutes later, the nurse returns with 2 pee cups. Pee cups that had live bugs in the bottom. Oh yeah, baby leeches. There were mucking leeches. Oh yeah, mucking leeches in the cups that they were gonna put on my nipples like it was the 1700s. And you're gonna have to stop laughing, otherwise it's gonna take a long time. So I literally said, oh, hell no. What the muck is that? The nurse seemed a little confused and said, you knew you were coming here for leech therapy, right? And I said, yes, with Dr. Leech. I was dead serious. I said, I can't do this. I will die. This is mucking disgusting. What's the alternative? Well, they finally explained to me that if I didn't have leech therapy, I ran the risk that my nipples would die and fall off. So I had a lot to think about. I think my husband likes my nipples. Okay, so for the next 3 mucking days, I had fresh baby leeches on my damn nipples. Every 2 hours. And these little muckers are the most unpredictable little shits you have ever met. They bring them out in pee cups. And they are the size of the tip of your pinky finger when they start out. They have suckers on both ends. Yep, it was bad. The nurses would arrange them on my nipples to keep the blood circulating to the nipple so it wouldn't fall off and die. Like literally a nipple can die. So the leech does his thing and gets as big as a middle finger. And then it just falls off when he's ready. I say he because I refuse to call them she's. So the nurses are busy, so they can't really wait to catch the leeches. So I held these pee cups up there, and I can only demonstrate one. So I held these pee cups up there to catch them, because if these leeches would have landed in my bed, I would have died with my nipples. We would have had a 2-for-1 funeral. A casket for me and one for my nipples and probably one for the nurse on duty. This happened for 3 days around the clock, 24 hours, day hours and night hours, leeches on and leeches off. And when they fall off, the leech, they put them in this pee cup, put alcohol in it, and then the leech bursts into a cloud of blood and is gone. No more leeches. Boy, bye. But they saved me. And if you seriously do not believe me, you can find demos on the YouTube. All right. So probably one of my best memories of this little leech vacation was with Joseph from Muhammad. Joseph was a CNA who was a bigger guy and wasn't afraid of these leeches like some of the other nurses. He worked quite a few of the shifts and had to help me to the bathroom because I wasn't allowed to walk alone for the first few days. In the hospital, you have to walk with those special hospital socks so you don't slip and fall, and it kind of makes you shuffle. And it's kind of like this. Let me show you. Actually, just let me show you the whole thing. All right, so... I hope I have a job on Monday. All right, so... So I'm in the bed, and I hit the call the nurse thing, and here comes Joseph to the rescue. I say, Joseph, I gotta pee like a mother. And he helps me get up, and I'm getting up with this big gown on, and I'm walking with my big white ass hanging out. Actually, my small white ass hanging out for correction, and I can't walk fast because I got these socks on. So I'm kind of shuffling. He's over here, and we're going to the bathroom. So then I'm giggling, and then I start singing. Every day I'm shuffling. And then he, I really did this. And then he looked at me, and then I do it again. Every day I'm shuffling. And then he looks at me like, he's probably like, is this bee really gonna do this? I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I am. I'm sexy and I know it. I'm just so proud of my joke right then. I was laughing so hard at the hospital. I laughed in the bathroom by myself. It was so funny. All right. Well, after the leech therapy ended, which took 3 days, I had to stay 2 more days in that hospital for blood transfusions because the damn leeches stole so much of my blood. Yes, blood transfusions on top of this. I am not making this up. So I had a 5-day vacation at the hospital, watched all kinds of weird TV, including a show called Botched, which was some reality TV show that I got addicted to about cosmetic surgery gone wrong, and eventually made a home. I am so proud to report today that my nipples are intact, living their best life. And I have officially gained back all of the weight that I lost to qualify for that surgery. So, and the girls are big again, but what are you gonna do? So I'll leave you with this. Can I get an amen if you like to eat? And can I get a hell yeah if you've ever lost weight and then gained it right back? Losing weight and gaining it back has been the struggle of my life. And I'm sure that there are many women in this audience that can relate. But guess what? It does not define us as women. Tonight, I've shared one of my stories, as have the amazing women on the stage. And we know that each and every one of you have a story to share, whether or not it's one of courage or just plain silliness, like I shared. February 22nd, 2020, is where we are tonight in our lives. And the rest, well, the rest is just unwritten.
I just got chills.
Me too!
That was like prophecy right there.
I botched the ending. It was not what I had planned to say. Like, I botched the ending, but whatever.
But oh my gosh, I got chills back to that and knowing what was bearing down on us. That really kind of just freaked me out.
Did you know, Angie? Did you know? That was like pathetic.
He knows everything, see?
I think so. But let's talk about that story, shall we?
Okay, wait, I want to hear the fallout. What did you have anybody like, I couldn't believe that? What was the response you got on Monday morning?
Well, we can rewind even before that. So at the after party at Neil Street Blues, I had a few women come up to me that I did not know. And they were like, oh my God, I got a breast reduction too. But that did not happen to me, but oh my God, you know, and they were talking to me. And then some women were like, I want to get a breast reduction, but what if that happens? I'm like, no, it will not happen. I promise it will not happen. Like it was just a once in a lifetime thing. And I took the hit for us. And so it won't happen to you. I promise. Do it. And so on Monday, when I went to work, you know, cause I have a little bit of a higher profile position in the community, and I didn't tell any of my coworkers this story. And so several of them came, you know, there's about 15 of them in the office that I work in. And I walked in, you know, kind of like nothing had happened. And they just looked at me and they said, we can't look at you the same. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
It's just, and you slipped in that line,
right?
You improvised that line. Gosh, I hope I still have a job Monday morning, which was not scripted,
right?
But delightful.
So, but I mean, you're not supposed to talk about your body part, but I mean, or you're not supposed to talk about other people's body parts. So they're my body parts, and I decided that it was safe. I could talk about them. So I decided it was okay.
It wasn't gratuitous body talk. I mean, it was a procedure that you went through that you were doing for your own health and wellness. Right. And it just so happened to turn out that there were leeches involved. And thank you for owning it and then sharing it, because life is messy and awkward. I don't think it gets any more awkward than what you've been through. God, I hope not. But by being bold and brave, like, you can laugh about it and let people know that it's okay to have moments like that in life.
Yep. Well, I have to tell you, there was someone who now I work with, but I was telling her how great Angie was, and I sent her Angie's clip, and she now works with me, but she was kind of like, I really wish I'd gotten that job working for her. She seems like a lot of fun. I'm like,
no,
hey, I'm fun too.
No, I mean, way.
I've never had pieces on my nipples, but
you showed her that video?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
This is the person you could have worked for, but no, you get to work with me.
Well, you kind of stole her from us because we had a different thing in mind, but I let you take her because you guys knew each other first.
I felt like, again, I'm second fiddle to Angie. She's like, so if I don't get this one, then I'll come play with you. And I was like, what? Again, like, for my first choice is clearly Angie.
Oh, but, whatever.
Hey, I'll take sloppy seconds. I mean,
oh my God.
We're not in college anymore. Sorry, Jeanette. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Thinking about the leeches. It's so funny to think about how extreme your circumstance was. Not everyone ever comes face to face with leeches, but it really was a funny way to talk about actually a topic that affects so many women, and that is, you know, body image and confidence and weight and weight gain and weight loss, which you came out and addressed with such a beautiful confidence about you that you just went there. We're just going to talk about the topic, and you brought everybody in with you. You know, you had this shout and response, you know, who's with me? Hell yeah. Because it's so true. There isn't a woman alive who hasn't faced some sort of diet, nutrition, weight gain, weight loss issue in their life. And, you know, you talked about the elephant in the room in a great way. And
well, it's still there. I battle it every day. It sucks. And so it's just something we all deal with, you know?
Yep.
Did women come up to you and talk to you about that at all? Like that
issue? No, I mean, not that I mean, afterwards, it's kind of like we all just went on lockdown. So
it's so true.
You know,
we missed out on a lot of opportunity to gauge the community's response and impact because of the timing of the show. And that's why we're here, you know, chatting with you on the podcast, so that we still have that opportunity to reach more women who need to hear that they're not alone and that we all go through it.
Yeah. I thought it was a great opportunity to talk about it. You know, a lot of people don't want to talk about it because they feel ashamed and really sad. And I mean, I have those feelings too, but then it affects so many people. I mean, if you look at the average size of a woman and, you know, and if you don't look at, if you stay off of social media so that you don't feel bad about yourself, I mean, you see so many different women out in public that are not super tiny. So it's not like we need to shame ourselves. Social media does do that to us, or just media in general. And so, but now I've gotten to a point in my life and just with my age is that I do need to worry about it for my health, and not to be thin by any means, but just to get a little bit of weight off so I don't die early, because I want to, like, you know, have fun.
I'm sure COVID made that so easy for all of us too.
Oh yeah. And I'm such foodie. I mean, and I talked about that. I still love to eat. Oh my God, it's so good.
Food is good stuff.
It is so good. And wine and my margaritas and all kinds of stuff. It's so good. Yeah. I make a good Cosmo too. No, I mean, I loved being in the show. I really want to give Kevin props because he spent so much time with me where something that I never thought I would do.
Just so our listeners know that not only did you share a story in the 2020 production, you were the finale. You were the final story of the night and went right into singing a song, and that inspired the title of your piece. You sang Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. And to those who don't know, Kevin is our musical director and our stage manager, if that's what she said.
Yeah. And so I spent many times, you know, in his house with him, and he has so much patience and just a really kind-hearted human.
We don't want people to do things that they're known for. And you're known for many, many things in the community, but, you know, being a stand-up comedian or singing, those are not two things that you would typically be known for. And so I loved that, you know, you put in all of these hours and blood, sweat, and tears in your work role, but it was so fun to see you just bring down the house with the laughing. And then when you sang, you just killed it. And knowing what you and Kevin had gone through leading up to that, that was pretty fantastic.
It was fun. Like, people that are in my inner circle, like, know how I have my F-bombs, like none other.
No mucking way.
Yes. So those are my outer circle, you know, like I gotta be all my, you know, my professional person. But my inner circle know the real Angie Franklin.
And you know what? Thanks to That's What She Said, we all got to take a peek at the inner circle Angie. Like, you really did take chances that night to share what it's like to, you know, be in your shoes for a day.
It's one thing to hear it from somebody who's going through it, and it doesn't feel patronizing. It feels real. It feels authentic. It isn't, it just doesn't feel like, and for $9.99, you can have my book or join my workout group. You know, it felt like I am only saying this from a place of love, and only, you know, I want to make you laugh, but I also want to have that connection so that you all know, you know, we all are going through this wherever you are. And I really appreciated that you were willing to talk about it. And it's a lot easier, at least for me, to hear it when you're in the middle of that journey.
Mm-hmm. I know. But like, I feel like I should have kept my clothes. It would be like a store. Like, all the things, but what I do is I just get rid of them, and then I'm like, I'm just gonna buy new, you know. And so it's crazy.
We love you wherever you are in your journey, and you are funny and charming, and you make people feel comfortable wherever they are, and that's such a gift.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Angie Franklin, from the 2020 That's What She Said live show. It's been, you know, a year that felt like 10 for so many people. And it's so good to get back together and laugh together and just remember why we do what we do, you know, to connect women and share their stories. So thanks so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time on the She Said Project podcast.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.